has both excitement and apprehension, especially with the way our world is currently shaping up and some of the things that are currently going on in our world today. And so one of the things the Lord put on my heart was what our focus should be. You know, should we be focused on, you know, all the craziness going on? Or should we focus on maybe something different? Should we focus on Him, on the Lord, and what and His plans? And I think the answer is pretty clear there. What we need to be focusing on is what does God have planned for you and me in 2015? You know, not worried about maybe, you know, we all have our plans. We all have our hopes. We all have our dreams. Some of those we may see happen. Some may not happen. You know, as we've seen before, things have happened in this world that have completely changed the direction of some of our lives. I would not be standing here in front of you as a pastor, probably. Maybe I would be, but it wouldn't have been as easy if 9/11 hadn't happened. It was because of 9/11 that my whole direction in my life changed. And I stopped being a computer programmer, and God moved me towards being a pastor. Took several years for that to happen, but this is some of the things that I'm talking about, is that some of the things that we look at and that are tragedies from our perspective, God uses many, many times. He uses those things for His glory, for His will to be done. Remember, God doesn't think like we do. We think on a horizontal plane. He sees the whole picture. And so as we move into this year, this is not a prophecy. I'm not trying to scare everybody. But there might be things that might happen this year very well that are going to be really difficult for all of us. And so if that is true, we need to have the right focus as we go into this year. And so let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord to give us His leading and direction. Lord, we are so grateful for Your word. We are grateful for the promises that we have in Your word. And so, Lord, I ask this morning that as we move into this new year, 2015, first of all, Lord, we thank You for bringing us to this season, bringing us to the point of another year. We thank You for bringing us through this past year with the many struggles and trials, both in our own individual lives, in our families, in our community, but also in our world. And yet, Lord, You have brought us through. And Lord, even if we didn't make it all the way through this year, we would be with You as believers. We have a hope that there is life beyond this life. And we are so grateful for that hope that we have in You. So, Lord, we ask this morning that You will give us understanding of Your word by the Holy Spirit. And we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So I entitled this morning, Our Eternal Hope, because I think that the Lord wants us to focus on something maybe different than what many times we focus on. Jesus says in John 14, 1 through 3, this is what He said to His disciples and to all those who trusted in Him and were following Him. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now let's break this down and take a look at it real quick. First of all, I find it interesting that we have a really hard time. I mean, it's not surprising, but we have a really hard time thinking or talking about eternity many times. And the reason for that is because there's something in between us and eternity, right? Something very scary, something unknown, and it's called death. And death scares us primarily because we have no clue, really, what's on the other side. Now, us as believers, yes, I know we do. Okay, we'll talk about that. However, what I find very interesting about the Lord is notice that many, many, many times he tells us to not be worried about this life and what we're going through here. He tells us not to be afraid, just like he says here. Let not your heart be troubled. The Greek here implies a command. In fact, it actually says, your heart must not be troubled. Basically, it's saying, if you're letting your heart be troubled, you're not doing what you should be doing. If you're worried or upset about what's going on in your life, what's going on around you, what's going on in the world, if you're worried about your, whether the promises of God are true or not, all of these are things that we should not be troubled about. Jesus commands us. He tells us, don't let your heart be troubled. It's not okay to have those feelings. Yes, they're normal for our flesh, but if we have them, there's a problem. And we need to work on fixing that problem. And the way we do it is he will share with us what we need to be doing. So don't just say, oh, well, that's normal that I have these feelings. Yeah, it is normal. It's normal in the sense that it's fleshly, if that's what we want to call normal. See, that actually isn't normal because we weren't created that way. We weren't created to be normal in the flesh. We weren't created to worry all the time. We weren't created to be in fear of death because there was no death when we were first created. Death didn't enter in until sin entered in. And that was a choice that Adam made. You and I have a choice now as well. We have a choice to trust and believe the promises of God or to live in fear and worry and sin the rest of our lives. If we choose to trust and obey the Lord, trust in his promises and obey what he tells us to do, we will be blessed. Several things we will be blessed with. First of all, we'll be blessed with peace that passes understanding in this life. And then we will be blessed with eternal life. Eternal life. That comes from the Lord. But it's our choice. You and I have to make a choice there. We have to say, yes, yes, I will trust in God. Yes, I will believe in him. Yes, I will believe all the promises that Jesus made. Or we say, I don't know if I can do that, and we continue in our worry. We continue in our fear. He says, let not your heart be troubled. This is a choice not to worry and doubt and let doubt reign or rule, but to live by faith. He goes on to say why we shouldn't let our hearts be troubled. It says, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Yeshua says, if you believe in God, then believe in me. The Greek word here means to have faith in or put your faith in or put your trust in. What Yeshua is saying is if you put your trust in God, then you need to also put it in me. Why? Yeshua is only saying this, the only way he could say this is because he is also God. That's the only way this would make sense. If I tell you, if you believe in God, put your faith in me, you're going to all laugh, and I would laugh too. Because you shouldn't put your faith in me. You should put your faith in God, not me. Jesus, Yeshua, can say, if you put your faith in God, you can also put it in me. Because just as God's promises will always be fulfilled, so will Yeshua's. His promises will always be fulfilled because he is God. He is God. And so Yeshua is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. If you have trusted in God, then trust also in me. It's safe, is what he's saying, to put your trust in me. It's a clear statement regarding his deity, that he is God. Now we know in Hebrews 11:6, It says that, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. That him should be capitalized, by the way. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. So we must first believe in God, believe that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, there's something about seeking after God. He desires us to diligently seek him, to diligently go after him. If you and I decide that, you know what, if God wants to find me, he knows where I am. If that's how we treat our relationship with God, guess what? We're not going to get the blessings. We're not going to get what he desires to give us. He wants us to seek him. And he is worthy of being sought after. I'm really not worthy of being sought after. I'm not. But he is worthy. You're not worthy of being sought after. But he is worthy. You know what's awesome? Is even though we're not worthy of being sought after, he still seeks after us. Isn't that awesome? Even though he tells us to diligently seek him, he comes and he finds us. And he starts that. He starts that conversation in your life and mine. Have you ever had that happen to you? I know I have. Where God interrupts whatever I'm doing because he loves me too much to let me continue doing what I'm doing? See, that's the awesome part, is because of his love for us, he intercedes and reveals himself to us. But then it's our choice. Are we going to take what he showed us? Are we going to seek after him? Or are we going to say, oh, well, that was a nice coincidence. Now I'm going to go on with my life. See, if we are seeking after him, we will find him. If we diligently seek after him. But we have to trust him. There has to be faith. There has to be faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. Yeshua goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, we have this weird idea of a mansion today, or what this is actually saying. This is actually not saying a mansion. Sorry to bust your bubble. But the reality is most of us are not going to want a mansion by the time we get up there anyways. We're not going to care about a mansion. Okay? My idea of a mansion is this big, huge house on some hill that's just, you know, it has everything I've ever dreamed of having in it. We will have everything we've ever dreamed of having and things we haven't even thought of having when we see Yeshua. We won't need anything down here. Nothing down here, no mansion, no beauty, nothing will even come close to comparing to what he will have for us. What this is saying is, in my Father's house are many places. Places that you can dwell. Could be a mansion on a hilltop. That's fine. If that's your type of thing, maybe you'll have that. I don't know. But he's not talking physical necessarily, although it is physical. He's talking a place of belonging, a place where you feel at home. Trust me, I've been in not too many mansions, but I've been in a few mansions, and they don't feel like home. They don't feel like home. I like my two-bedroom house with a converted garage. That feels like home. The place down the street is too big. It doesn't feel like home. Maybe I could get used to it after a while, but many mansions, many dwelling places is what he's saying. Not just places to live, but places to rest and be at peace and feel loved and accepted. Isn't this what we are constantly searching for? A place of acceptance, a place of love,
a place of rest. This is what he's talking about. There's many places like that in my Father's house. Places of belonging and true family, where there is no loneliness and everyone is loved and appreciated. This is what we're talking about with the Lord. See, we go past that many times. We don't even think of that. We think of the mansion. We don't think of what's implied here. What Yeshua is really trying to say is, guys, don't let your heart be troubled. Yes, you're right now, you and I are going through a place that is lonely. It is difficult sometimes. We lose people that we love. That is hard. That is difficult to go through. But what he's saying is, this isn't all there is. There's a place of belonging. There's a place that I'm going to prepare for you. It's a place that you will always feel loved. You will always feel appreciated. You will always feel accepted. All of those lies that you have heard all of your life that have broken your heart, you won't hear them anymore. You'll hear his love. You will hear how he really feels about you. And you won't hear what we say to ourselves. You won't hear what other people say. You won't hear what our broken parents said because of their brokenness. What will we hear? We will hear his love. We will hear his voice. And we will know that we're home, truly home. That's the place that he's talking about here. A place that you will never feel lonely again. In my Father's house are many places of belonging, many places of love, many places full of acceptance. And then Yeshua goes on to say, if it were not so, I would have told you. Saying, I would have been honest with you. I'm telling you what it's going to be like. Don't let your heart be troubled. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Yeshua says he would tell us if things were different. Different. It is not the mansion part, i.e. beauty and luxury, that should attract us to heaven, but the sense of absolute belonging and exceeded expectations. It's Yeshua that should attract us to heaven. But if you're not quite that spiritual, I'm sorry, you know, that isn't that the answer we always get, you know? Oh, I'm going to just, because of Yeshua. You know what? We should be that way, but we're not always that way, are we? Many times I'm thinking about me and my comfort. And those are the things I need to give over to the Lord. We should be loving the day of his appearing. If I'm thinking about me and my comfort, I'm not really looking forward to his coming. See, part of the problem that's going to happen is if I'm thinking about me and my comfort, then I'm going to have a hard time making it through this life because this life is not always about me or my comfort. So it's not the beauty and the luxury and those things that should attract us to heaven, but the sense of absolute belonging to him. And exceeded expectations. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That's pretty cool. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But notice what it says here. He will do way more than that. If we delight ourselves in him, he will give us things we've never even imagined. It hasn't even entered into our heart. You and I can't even imagine the good things he has prepared for us. It's beyond our comprehension. In other words, the point of this is it will be more fulfilling than the most fulfilling thing you've ever experienced. And it will get better and better and better and better. I love the way C.S. Lewis describes heaven. C.S. Lewis describes heaven as ever-increasing satisfaction. See, what is earth like? Well, it's the opposite, isn't it? Nothing down here ever satisfies. Ever, seemingly. Except for the Lord. He's the only one that has always lived up to all expectations and exceeded them. And he always will. But everything else, you get a new toy for Christmas. You like it for 6 months or so. You're like, ooh, this is so cool. After 6 months, well, I should have got the other model. I like a little this or a little that. You're not satisfied. We're not satisfied with things down here. That's intentional. It's intentional. We're not going to be satisfied with things down here. Why? We need him. We need the Lord. And there is nothing that will satisfy you and me apart from him and his presence. And so what he says to us here, what Yeshua says is, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be distracted by lack of satisfaction down here. Don't let it be distracted by your worries and your cares and whatever's going on in the news. Trust him. If you trust God, he says, trust also in me. That needs to be our focus as we move into 2015, that we delight in him, because anything else that we delight in is going to let you down. Anything else that you and I delight in is going to let us down. That's a given. But it's also a given that he won't let us down. He will never let us down. And if we delight in ourselves in him, there are some things that you and I might have looked at. And have you ever noticed this? If you've been with the Lord for any length of time, there are things that before you became a believer, you would have looked at as horrible things, tragedies even, or just really bad struggles, that as a believer you look at completely different. See, that's the way the Lord begins to work. Because when we trust him, it says clearly in his word that even our sufferings have meaning. If you don't know the Lord, suffering has no meaning. You just try to avoid it as much as possible. Because if there's nothing beyond the grave, you want to be as happy and as content and enjoy as much as possible in this short life that we have down here. That's the world's attitude. But it's so awesome because every single one of us goes through suffering. Even if you avoid it as much as possible, you can try to avoid it. You're still going to go through it. I'm not trying to ruin your day, but you're going to go through suffering. Isn't it awesome to know that it has meaning in the Messiah? It has purpose. It says, if we share in his sufferings, we will also share in his glory. And you know what his sufferings are? It's not just persecution. It's not just going and being crucified on a cross. That was his suffering. It's every suffering that he allows in your life and mine. Those are sharing in his sufferings. If we look at it from that standpoint, every heartache, every struggle, every trial can be looked at in one of two ways. A problem that I wish I didn't have in my life and I'm going to complain about it and I'm going to be angry about it or bitter, or it can be looked at as, Lord, this is one of your sufferings. Give me your joy, just like joy like you had when you went through it. Give me joy. I trust you through this, and I trust that you have a plan even through this suffering, even through this trial. Now, if we brought it upon ourselves, we can still look at it that way. Why? What does he say? What are we supposed to do with our sins? Confess it to him, not hold on to him. Not say, well, I got to go through this suffering because I caused it to begin with. No, we're supposed to give it to him. We're supposed to confess our sins to him. And it says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even if you initially caused the suffering, who initially caused all suffering? Well, Adam with his sin. So we could all blame it on Adam, right? But no, we've caused our own suffering, haven't we? Even if you and I initially caused the suffering, those sufferings can still be put on the Messiah. And he wants us to do that. And he wants us to walk through them and see them as suffering as well. They also have meaning and purpose in your life and mine. See, there's nothing outside of that if we choose to trust him. It's only when we choose not to that we have to continue to go through stuff that we go through in this life. So, as it says in 1 Corinthians 2:19, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And then he says something just incredibly awesome. I go to prepare a place for you. He doesn't just say there's many mansions and you don't know who's going to get there. Whoever I choose, if you're really, really good, maybe you'll get there. No, no. He says, if you believe in me, if you trust in me, then I'm going to prepare a place for you, for you. It's personal. It's individual. Every single one of us who have trusted in Yeshua, we have a place. We have a place. You and I go to prepare a place for you. Hetomezo, to make ready, to prepare, to provide. That's the Greek word there. Tapos, a spot, a location, a room, a home. A home is also implied here. It's pretty cool. Yeshua can't hide his excitement as he says this. And it was probably said with an expectant smile as he thought about all the things he had planned. You notice that even in the words here, that he can't hide his excitement. I go to prepare a place for you. He's excited. Why? Because he's already thinking of all those wonderful things that he's planning for you and me. He's excited about that. He's excited about sharing his glory with us. And you and I can be excited about that too. This is a promise that we have for him, from him. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to worry as we go into 2015. Whatever might happen, if we are trusting him, if we are focused on him, if we are saying, yes, Lord, I trust you. I know you've gone and prepared a place for me. And he says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again. Matthew 25:31. Let's look at that real quick. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 25:31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And it goes on to talk about how he will gather all the nations. But the point in this is he says here, I will come again. And many, many places in Scripture, this is only one of them, Yeshua promises that he will return. He will come back. And then what does it say? And receive you unto myself. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 talks about his coming and his catching his bride up to himself. It's also known as the rapture, but it means it will be caught up. What does it say there? The important part is not the theology. We get so distracted by all this different stuff. Oh, the rapture, and now we got to talk about when that's going to happen and blah, blah, blah. No, the point is we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That's what we should be excited about. What he says here is, I'm coming and I'm going to receive you to myself.
We won't care when it happens. We'll just be so excited that it happened. Nobody's going to be saying, ha ha, I told you so. No. We're going to be like in awe of being with him, of being in his presence. He's excited about this. You know, you know it says in Scripture, there's a passage in Scripture that it says, and see if I get this right. I'm going to paraphrase it, but it's close. The Lord takes joy, or takes joy in the death of his saints. Literally says something like that. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. However, that's always kind of like, what? How can he be happy? Well, what? From our perspective, it doesn't make sense, does it? The Lord takes joy in the death of his saints. That doesn't make sense. But think of it from his perspective, especially for you and I. Okay, the disciples, they've seen him before, but they're going to see him, well, they've even seen him glorified, but they're going to see him even more glorified. Okay, but you and I, we've never seen him. Why do you think the Lord takes joy in the death of his saints? For the first time, we get to see him. And it's the expectation of our joy. It's the expectation of our fulfillment of everything you and I have ever sought after and ever wanted being found in him, because that's what it says in Scripture. That it's all found in him. That's what brings him joy. And it's the realization that we're going to have when that happens. In fact, it says when we are raised in that new glorified body, it says we will see him as he is, and we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. There's a change that's going to happen in us. And everything that has never made sense to you before will suddenly make sense. And all of the things that have not been fulfilled, all of the holes that you and I have because of this life, because of the struggles, because of the trials, because of the hurt, because of the pain, will all be filled with him, with joy, with peace, with gladness, with belonging. He says, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let's look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Three through five. This is where he is. And once again, yes, this is physically we will be with him, but spiritually as well. There will be a complete change to everything. This is where he is. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Talking about the New Jerusalem. And his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's what it means to be with him where he is. That where I am, there you may be also. See, it's his heart. And I've said this before, but even today, it's his heart to share his glory with us. That is Yeshua's heart. I'm not talking that we should receive glory like God receives glory, but he wants to share his goodness, his love, his mercy, his beauty with us. He shares his glory with us. That's his heart. Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17 talks about this. And if children, if we are children, and let's back up for just a bit. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear,
But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Messiah. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. That's his heart for you and me. If we as children stay in the family, so to speak, if we acknowledge him and he has already acknowledged us as believers when we become believers. But if we acknowledge him and we continue in faith, it says that the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Messiah from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This was Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. But going down, not only will we have eternal life, but we will be joint heirs with the Messiah in his glory if we trust him. That's exciting. That should be our focus as we move into 2015. What should be our response to this truth that Yeshua has shared with us? First of all, do not hold tightly to this world. Do not hold tightly to this world. Matthew 6. Let's look at Matthew 6, 19. And guys, let me just say this, that even as I'm sharing this with you, my flesh does not like this message. My flesh doesn't like this message. It likes the glory part. It likes all that part. It likes that he's preparing a place for me. But it doesn't like the idea that, you know, in 2015, there's going to be hardships. There's going to be struggles. And that I need to be willing to surrender to the Lord for whatever his will is for my life in 2015. You as well. We need to be willing to surrender our hearts to him, whatever he wants, and say, Lord, just as Yeshua said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done in 2015 in my life. That is hard to say, because what it does is it relinquishes our control. And it says to him, you have absolute control. You have absolute sway in my life. And that's what I want. And that needs to be what we want more than anything else. And we will struggle. 2015, just like 2014 was, will be a struggle. The biggest struggle you and I will have is a struggle with our will. Our desires, our flesh versus what he wants. And that's what exactly what we have to release to him. And what he says in Matthew 6, in verse 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. This does not just mean physical treasures. Yeah, it definitely means that too. But it doesn't just mean gold and silver and money and houses and all that. It also means treasures like people saying how great we are. It means those types of treasures too. Position, power, authority. Whatever that might be. Those are all part of the treasures that he says. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is in 2015, that's where our heart will be. Where our treasure is, that's where our heart will be in 2015. So we have a choice to make as we enter into this new year. Am I going to seek the treasures of this world and put them before the Lord? Am I going to seek my own gain?
Am I going to seek my own satisfaction? Am I going to seek my own fulfillment? Or am I going to surrender all of that to the Lord and put it all on the altar and say, Lord, it's all yours. Do with me whatever you want. Here you go. Take this lump of clay. Mold it however you want. If you take my life, that's okay. If that's your will. If you lead me somewhere else, that's okay. If that's your will. If you take away any authority or any power or anything that I might have gained that came from you anyways, that's okay if that's your will. Everything. If you take my job in 2015, I trust you for a new one. That's okay if that's your will. What God is asking of his body this year, I believe is something. I mean, he's always asked this of us. He always wants it of us. But we have a choice. I'm not just talking Hare Yeshua. I'm talking the body of Messiah. I know I haven't done it like I should in the past. I haven't surrendered to the Lord like I should. I have suffered. My family has suffered. Others have suffered because of that. None of us is perfect, but that's not an excuse to continue to be disobedient to God, because we have a choice. And our choice going into 2015 is the same choice we had going into 2014 and continue to have as we finish off 2014. But we need to start today. Don't wait till 2015. The choice is saying, Lord, I'm surrendering myself. I'm placing myself on the altar. Just like Paul encouraged us, and he said, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He encouraged us to do this. And Jesus is saying here, if you do this, you won't regret it. If you do this, you will be blessed. So first of all, do not hold tightly to this world, because these treasures are passing away. They're not going to last. You can't take them with you. You know, we went by an estate sale today, probably somebody who had passed away. They couldn't take any of it with them. It was funny that at 7 something in the morning, I guess it was almost 8, but still, there were all these cars there for an estate sale. And what are those people going to do? Just buy all that stuff that somebody else had and couldn't take with them and probably store it away until they go and they can't take it with them. I know, it's morbid, you know. But it's true usually. And let's say I get something really exciting and I like it for a whole week and then I put it in my garage or in my storage unit and it sits there until it's time for my estate sale. I'm not going to get too much, but anyways. Be all the more, so what's the second thing? Do not hold tightly to this world. Be all the more engaged in sharing our faith and hope in Messiah. We have a commandment. It's called the Great Commission. We are told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. This is the primary thing that you and I should be doing as believers. Not debating theology that we don't even understand to begin with. Not fighting over things. I mean, we spend so much time in the body fighting over silly things that only God really understands. Think about it for just a second. Just give you an issue that is big in the church right now that we continue to fight over. God's sovereignty. I mean, that shouldn't even be an issue, right? God is sovereign, period. But if I have a choice, that somehow makes God less sovereign, according to some. I say the opposite.
I say God makes him more sovereign if I have a choice and he still carries out his will. That's pretty sovereign. But you know what? Neither one of it matters. Are you pre-chosen by God already? Or do you get to make a decision to receive the Lord or not receive him? God knew who was going to become a believer, but that doesn't mean he made the choice for them. But it still doesn't matter. What we need to be doing is sharing our faith with people, sharing the hope that we have in Yeshua, not arguing over tiny doctrinal issues that literally split churches and people disfellowship over. I was explained by somebody that because I believed in a choice, that God had given us a choice, which I think is really clear in Scripture over and over again, that I was somehow minimizing God's sovereignty. And therefore, they couldn't fellowship with somebody who was minimizing God's sovereignty. And I'm like, what? You've got to be kidding me. This is the kind of stuff that we need. I'm just using that as an example. There's many more that we could fight over, I'm sure. Christmas trees. Well, let's talk about Christmas trees. No, let's not. Who cares? It's a tree. Nobody's worshiping it. It's okay if somebody has a Christmas tree. If God says it's not okay, he'll tell them. It's not my responsibility. It's his. Let's leave this stuff alone. This is the kind of stuff that Paul says, this is elementary stuff. All these fighting over this and that and all this stuff, we need to leave it behind and move on to love. See, love is meat. It's not this weird prophecy, whatever, you know, supposition of what might happen. That's not the meat. The meat is us loving each other as he told us to, learning how to set aside all of this other stuff and be focused on him and actually really loving each other. That's what he's calling us to do in 2015. And we're either for him or against him. We either will follow him or we won't. And more that's becoming an issue even here. We're not going to be able to ride that center line anymore as believers. We're going to have to make a choice just like all of the other believers around the world have to make a choice. Are we serious about our faith or not? If we're serious about these things, then let's press on by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's die to ourselves. Let's present our bodies as living sacrifices. Holy, that means set apart to accomplish his will. 1 Peter 3:15. says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Let me make this very, very clear. This does not say always be ready to give a defense over your understanding of the doctrine. It's not what it says, does it? No. It says, but sanctify the Lord in your heart, set him apart in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You don't do it with pride. You don't do it with arrogance. You don't belittle people or condescend down to them like, I have this great understanding. No, with meekness and fear. And yet, we defend that faith that we have. We defend that hope that we have. Yes, I have a hope. I have a hope in the Lord. I know he's coming back. And you can share the good things that he's done in your life. You can share the way he's answered prayer. You can share the way he has never let you down. People have let us down many times, but he has never let us down. We can share that he will keep his promises. Always be ready to give a defense, because you never know when you get the opportunity. Never know where you're going to be, but we need to be ready. And finally, Romans 12. Love others as he loves us. Romans 12, 9 through 10. Let's look at that with our final verse here. Romans 12, 9 through 10. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. So notice what it's saying here, first of all. And it's actually that word, let love be without hypocrisy, is also translated as without dissimulation in King James, which means love should be a gift that we all have, because it was talking about the gifts before this. But love is a gift that he's given to all of us that we need to be sharing with each other. And so that's another way to look at it. But also, let your love be without hypocrisy. Don't say you love somebody and then treat them in a non-loving way. That's not love. That's not love. We need to call it what it is. I've had people tell me that before. I love you. And then they go on to just completely destroy me or somebody I love. That's not love. See, because that's not done in the spirit. There's times, yes, that we need to confront each other. There's times that we need to talk to each other. But we don't just rip each other apart and say that we love each other. That's not love. When I treat my wife or my children that way, I have to go back and apologize to them. See, because we're a family. And we should be treating each other as a family, treating each other with love. So let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. It means hate the things that are evil. Not hate evil people. Doesn't say hate evil people, does it? No. It says hate what is evil, but cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. That's even a little bit better than love, isn't it? I mean, not better than love, but I mean, it's not just out there. Love can be defined in many ways, but this is actually saying, be kindly affectionate. Show your love by your friendliness and your affection for each other. Kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. That's the final thing we need to be focusing on as we enter into 2015. Loving each other as he has commanded us to do. And what that means is it should be safe for you and I to be here with each other. This should be a safe place. Not a place where we attack. Not a place where we criticize or hurt. It should be a safe place that we can come and feel a little bit of that belonging that we're going to one day feel when we're in his presence. Now, we don't get it all here. Because things are still not perfect. We're all struggling. And we need to have grace for each other. Somebody might have a bad day. If they look at you weird, it might have nothing to do with you. Don't get offended by it. Say, hey, can I pray with you? Are you having a bad day? And they'll probably tell you, yeah, please pray for me. We all have those days. And we need each other. We need each other to extend grace to each other as well. See, when you're hurt, when you and I are hurt, we tend to think that other people aren't hurt as bad as we are. And we get offended many times because of our hurt. When somebody's not trying to offend us, they're just also hurt. And so us hurt people need to have grace for each other. And don't assume the worst about each other. Why don't we start by assuming the best, and if it turns into the worst, we can be disappointed. That's a much better approach. Assume the best. If you find out it's something else, well, then you can pray for them, and you can lift them up, and you can be disappointed. But love each other. We are commanded to do that. Love each other as he has loved us. And he was willing to do everything for us.
I'm not there yet. I want to be, but I'm not loving the way I should. I don't love with perfection. I still have fear. Perfect love cast out all fear. And if you're honest, you probably don't love with perfection either. But we can move that way in 2015 by making him our focus and trusting him no matter what is going on, no matter what the struggle is, no matter what the trial is. Rely on him. When we rely on him, we can then begin to truly love each other. We can put down the walls that we put between ourselves, and we can trust. Because if I'm trusting him, then I can also trust you. Because I'm going to trust his working in you. And so it's okay to let down my walls because I'm trusting him. And even if I get hurt, that's okay. Because I'm still trusting him. He has a reason for that. That's part of love. Loving is breaking down those walls. Not putting more up, bringing them down. Lord, we thank you. And as we move towards 2015, we ask, Lord, first of all, that the last few days of this year, that we will live with our whole heart following you, seeking you, desiring to glorify you. And Lord, that we will begin loving each other and loving you and trusting you now. We won't wait for 2015. But Lord, as we move into 2015, we ask that it will be a year sanctified and set apart to you for your purpose in our lives. That you will do the work that you desire to do in us individually and in us as a congregation and in us as the body of Messiah. And we just ask this in Yeshua's name, to your glory and to your honor. Amen.